We have now begun the week that the church calls holy. It's holy first because of all that Jesus did during these days. From his triumphal entry into the city at the beginning of this Mass, to his teaching at the temple, to the Last Supper, to his prayer in Gethsemane, to his arrest, torture, crucifixion, preaching, and death on Good Friday, to his rest in the tomb, to his glorious resurrection on the third day. It's also called holy, because this week is meant to make us holy. If we live the week the right way, if we enter into the mysteries we celebrate, if we internalize all Jesus won for us during these most holy of events in all time, Holy Week is supposed to be a Catholic's most faith-filled week of the year, the week that's supposed to strengthen us in our faith the most. But for that to occur, we need to correspond to the graces God gives us this week. We need to choose to make it our holiest and most faithful week of the year. We have to live it, not as spectators, but as intimate participants. Growing up here at St. Michael's, I have powerful memories of living Holy Week as a participant, along with my family and this parish family. I remember attending and later serving as an altar boy, Palm Sunday Mass, in which we cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When we celebrated Holy Thursday, when Jesus gave himself to us in the Holy Eucharist and instituted the priesthood that makes this perpetual gift possible, I remember praying the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday, pondering Jesus' passion, coming up to venerate his cross and receive Jesus at the end of the ceremony outside of the context of Mass. I remember the Easter Vigil, the most beautiful Mass of the year, the seven Old Testament readings, their accompanying psalms and prayers, the baptism of adults, the accompanying of other Christians into the fullness of the Catholic faith. And I remember coming back on Easter Sunday to a packed church, blasting out with joy, "Jesus Christ is risen today." Those Holy Weeks as a child filled me with a depth of love for our faith and copiously watered the seeds of a priestly vocation that God had given me in those very pews. In my 16 years of service as a parish priest in the Diocese of Fall River, I recognized, to my surprise, that not everyone lived Holy Week the way I used to live it here on Bridge Street. There was always something a little weird that would occur at the end of Palm Sunday in the two places where I was pastor, when Catholics would come up to me at the end of Palm Sunday Mass and say, and apparently mean, "See you next Sunday, Father." Coming to church on Holy Thursday, on Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil simply wasn't on their radar screen. It's true that attendance on Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday isn't obligatory, but this is not because the church doesn't think these events are as important or even more important in our faith than, for example, celebrating All Saints Day or Mary's Immaculate Conception or Assumption. It's because the church would never think that it would have to make attendance obligatory, because it presumes that all Catholics would want to be there out of love for the Lord. For disciples of Jesus to miss voluntarily any of these principal celebrations of our faith would be as incomprehensible as a Red Sox fan skipping the 5th, 6th, and 7th games of the World Series when the Red Sox are playing. About Holy Thursday, Jesus said to the apostles at the beginning of that most precious meal of all time, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus says the same thing to us each Holy Week, with great eagerness, with great zeal, with a burning hunger. He wants to eat that Passover with you and me. The summons he gives us to enter into the celebration of the Lord's Supper is the most important dinner invitation we have ever received. During it, we celebrate with him the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood that makes that gift possible. Could we ever have a more important invitation this Thursday night than the one the Lord Jesus Himself extends to us? If there's ever one day during the year on which every Christian should think about taking a personal day, it's this Friday, the Friday we call Good. Most of us would naturally, without thinking twice, take time off of work or school to be with a loved family member who was dying. We need to be just as practical at being with Jesus on Good Friday. If we were present in Jerusalem the day Jesus was carrying the cross to Golgotha to make our salvation possible, would we have wanted to be with Him as Mary and the other faithful disciples were? Or would we prefer to be busy about other, far less important matters? In the Easter Vigil, is by far the most important and beautiful Mass of the entire year, in which we thank God for the supreme gift of the resurrection and what it means for us and the world. There are, of course, Masses on Easter Sunday morning that fulfill our obligation, but candidly, they're not the same as the Easter Vigil, in which we enter into faith, and with faith, into all the central events of salvation history. We see how they're all fulfilled in Christ, and we rejoice in faith for the new life that God gives us. It's the most important liturgy in Roman Catholicism. It's the Mass that has the power to change us the most as we celebrate it, because it gives us the occasion to push ourselves to the liturgical limit of love and gratitude to God in celebration of Jesus' resurrection and what that means for us in this world and what it means for us forever. So I'd encourage you to approach all of these events with faith, to look at them for the extraordinary gifts that they are, and to enter into them as participants rather than just remain in the crowd as distant observers. We start off this week by inviting everybody to enter into the gospel. As you have just said in the bold letters of the Passion account of the Lord, you have said the beautiful things about Jesus, but you've also, in your own voice, said words like, "Crucify Him and give us Barabbas." The Church gives us that opportunity at the beginning of Holy Week so that we can see that the Lord wants us to enter fully into the gospel. What a beautiful procession we had from the Kenyan community at the beginning of this Mass with God's Holy Word. And what they were singing together is, "Open wide to receive the Word of God." And that's the invitation God gives to us throughout this entire week, to be not afraid to open wide the gates of our heart, to allow the Lord to come in and touch us and change us forever by what He does this week. It's an opportunity for us to respond with holy words, like we've all just done as a community. But it's also an opportunity for us to respond with unholy phrases, especially in our body language. It's during this week that we have a decision to make, the decision to respond to Jesus like Mary of Bethany at the beginning of today's gospel, who spent a whole year's worth of her salary in order to anoint Jesus' feet with precious aromatic nard. She said Jesus was worth it all. Think about what you make in a year. Mary of Bethany blew that on Jesus' feet. And Judas said she could have used the money for so many other good things. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She's done this to anoint me for burial." We've got a choice this week to waste our time on Jesus or to respond like Mary of Bethany and give Him the best of our time, even sacrificing other important things over the course of this week for Him. This week is an opportunity for us to respond to Jesus' request of Peter, James, and John better than they did, to stay awake with Him in prayer. Because like theirs, our spirit is strong. We want to do the right thing, but our flesh is weak. Often we don't choose to do the right thing. And this is a week in which Jesus wants to strengthen us by prayer, but we've got to make that time to pray. It's a chance for us to ponder Judas's valuing Jesus less than 30 pieces of silver and make the resolution that we will never sell Jesus out for all the silver and gold in the world. It's an opportunity for us, like Simon of Cyrene, to accompany Jesus carrying the cross, to be like the Blessed Virgin Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Clopas and the Apostle John, with Jesus as He is redeeming us on Calvary. Or we can make another choice, like most of the rest of the disciples, who had scattered away from the Good Shepherd when the Good Shepherd most wanted them with Him. It's a chance for us to turn to Jesus like the good thief, ask to be remembered by Him when He entered into His kingdom. Or it's a chance to look at Jesus and mock Him like the thief on Jesus' left. It's ultimately an opportunity for us to continue to shout as we did at the beginning of Mass today, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Or to shout out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him," by choosing something else in our life is more important than the Lord Jesus. At the beginning of this week and throughout each of the days of this week and beyond, it's as if Pontius Pilate is saying to us what he said to the crowd in the courtyard of the Praetorium: "Whom do you want? Whom do you want me to give to you? Jesus or Barabbas?" To choose Jesus is to choose to be with Him, to allow Him as the Lamb of God led to the slaughter, to take away our sins for which He paid such a precious price, to follow Him up close and enter into these mysteries. And to choose Barabbas is to put anything or anyone else before the Lord. Throughout this week, we have a chance to say, we have a chance to shout, we have a chance to proclaim with every cell in our body, "Give me Jesus. I want Jesus. I want and love You, Lord. You truly are the Son of God." The best way to get this week off to a holy start is here at Mass. Each Mass we celebrate is in itself Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday all together in one. In a few minutes we will sing together, "Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." We will enter into the upper room as Jesus gives us the same body and blood He gave the apostles on Holy Thursday night. We will mount Calvary, where we will not merely be witnesses, but participants in the very same death of the Lord once and for all for us in our salvation. And through receiving His risen body and blood in Holy Communion, we will leave with Him from the tomb of sin and death and get a foretaste of the eternal wedding banquet in the kingdom He won for us this week by the very passion, death, and resurrection we will celebrate this week and hope to celebrate forever. This week is holy because of what Jesus has done, and it's meant to make us holy. And it will. "Whom do you want me to give to you?" Let us say and repeat, "I choose Jesus." Praise be Jesus Christ.